If you have your Bibles, take them out and turn me to Romans 12, 2. We're going to continue on. This is last week and this week, these sermons are Judy's fault. Because I preached a sermon that I thought that I'd preach one sermon, and then at the end of it, she goes, well, you should have closed it this way, basically. So that led me to two more weeks of sermons. So Romans 12, 2 says this, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And I'd like to preach for a while this morning from this subject, be a vessel for God's plan. Part 2. Father, we thank you for this time this morning. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd be the one speaking and the word of God would speak and not me, but Lord, that you'd help me to be obedient to share what you want to communicate to us today. Lord, that we'd hear it, take it in. Lord, let it take root in us and produce a harvest. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, 2 weeks ago, I shared the idea that everything starts out in the spiritual realm. Before it manifests into the physical realm, it starts in the spiritual realm. And we talked about that, and I gave examples of, you know, Adam and Eve. There was something that took place there in the spiritual realm between God and Satan, and then Adam and Eve had a chance to how they had to decide how they would react to it. The same with Moses, Joseph, and his brothers and being sold into captivity in Egypt. Again, we saw God's plan at work, we saw Satan's plan at work, and then we individuals, Joseph in this case, had to decide how they were going to act. You know, just because something happens in the spiritual realm, as I said, doesn't mean it's predetermined. It comes to us. How are we going to decide? Are we going to decide with God, or are we going to decide with the enemy's plans? We saw it obviously with King Herod and Mary and Joseph. Those were all spiritual things. Things happen in the spirit realm before they happen in the physical realm. So that led to Judy pointing out, well, it made me think of Romans 12 too, that we need, if things happen in the spiritual realm, it'd be good for us to know what God is doing in the spiritual realm so that we can get on board with his plan. Amen? So that led me to the idea that we are vessels for God's plan. We need to be able to do that. So last week we talked about that. We started off here with Romans 12 too about how we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Why? Because then we'll be able to know what does it say? To be able to test and prove what God's will is. But I have to transform my mind first. I have to think like God. I have to see the world the way God sees it, not the way that I see it, or the way the world around me tells me to see it. I have to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. And we got into that. We talked about how God's word is really the primary source of helping us renew our minds. That we need to use God's word. It is, we looked at in Romans, I'm not going to take time to read all these verses, Romans 2, verses 28 and 29, that we use God's word. It helps us to circumcise our hearts because it says we're really God's people, we're really God's children, not from outward circumcision, but of a circumcision from the heart, that we cut away those things that are in our lives, in our hearts, in our souls, as Judy talked about, our will, that are not godly. We have to remove those. That's what circumcision means. It means to cut away. So in order to get on board and be renewed and renew our minds to know God's will, we got to allow God's word to circumcise our hearts, to cut away those things that are not of God. And Romans 4:12 tells us that God's word is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. It divides us, spirit and soul, joint and marrow. So that's where we get into God's word dividing us, you know. God's word is a sword. It's maybe in a sense of removing things from us. It's a scalpel. Maybe that would be a modern day translation. It cuts away those things in us that are sick and diseased. God's word will identify them to us. I'm all for God's will happening in our lives. Amen. But I got news for you. If you really let God have free will in your life, it could get pretty uncomfortable. If there's too much in our lives that are not what God wants it to be, it's going to get uncomfortable. But you know what? I know I say this from time to time, but I'll say it. Y'all know the old, and I don't know what name he goes by nowadays, John Cougar, John Mellencamp, John whatever. Hurts so good. That's what I think of. When God corrects us, when God takes the scalpel to us by his word to remove things from our lives that shouldn't be there, it's like, that hurts so good. Because it hurts, it's painful in the process, but it produces really good things. The outcome is good. And so it makes me think that that's what we need to happen. Colossians 3:10 says, we put on a new self being renewed by the knowledge in the image of our Creator. We have to have the knowledge of who God is, and that renews us. That's the image we need to be made in. And the Holy Spirit plays a critical role in this. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10 says, however it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. It says right here that we can't know. No eye, no physical sense has seen what God has prepared. Why? Let's go back 2 weeks. Why haven't our physical senses seen what God has prepared? Where does it happen? In the Spirit. So our physical can't, but who can? God's Spirit. That's why it has to be revealed to us by God's Spirit. Well, if I'm not in tune with God, I'm going to have a hard time hearing from His Spirit to know what He's up to. And I want to know what He's up to. Amen? I know that getting on board with God is the best thing that we can do. So I want to get into this week. We're going to get into, that was a kind of a quick review from last week. I want to get into our responsibility of being a vessel for God's use. We talked about how to get, renewed so we can hear the voice of God, know His plan. But now, how do I actually become the vessel? What does it mean to be God's vessel? How does He want to use me or use us? Let's look at 2 Timothy 2. I'm going to read verses 20 and 21. 2 Timothy 2, verses 20 and 21. By the way, everybody just looks up at the screen when I give these references, don't I? How many of you turn to the scripture, the verse in your Bible when I say them, or you just look up to the screen? You do? How many? A couple of you do? Is it because you're reading different translations, or you just want to turn to it? Yeah. You just like... I'm like you. I see people sitting around with their iPads and their phones with their Bibles. I can turn to a scripture faster with my old paper Bible than they can find it on their device. But anyways, that's right, because I told you to do what? Write this on the fly leaf of your Bible. So you got to have the fly leaf out. Thank you. That's very good. That was not a plant. I did not tell her to say that ahead of time. But I read the New Internet, the 1984 version of the NIV is what I primarily use, and I can explain to you why I like it. I actually had two seminary professors who were translators of this Bible. That's probably why I'm a little bit lean to it. But anyway, I can explain. But this is because I just wondered if people are reading, you turn into it because you have the King James or the New Living Testament or something like that. Anyway, 2 Timothy 2, 20 and 21 says, in a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes and some for ignoble. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, he will be an instrument for the noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Now, it doesn't specifically state it, but this passage, again, is dealing with circumcision of the heart, cutting away things that are not there. Being made vessels, being made articles, as the NIV says, for God's use. We have to be, being made useful for noble purposes. And so we have to go through, we have to clean our heart. We have to go through this process. But it is when we have this clean heart, when we're prepared, as it said, prepared for the master. We want to be vessels not just for common everyday use. We want to be vessels that God can use for His noble purposes. And it ends with this idea of saying that then we're made instruments for noble purposes, made holy. Holy is what? Holy is cleanliness in a godly sense, that we're clean the way God wants us to be. Going back to this idea of circumcising the heart, getting rid of those things that are not of God. Then we are holy vessels. Holy instruments made useful for God, made useful to the master. To do what? We are prepared to do what? Good works. The Bible tells us several places in the gospel that good trees produce what kind of fruit? Good fruit. Good, holy, godly people are going to produce good things, good works. It is important for us to do what God's called us to do so that we as vessels are holy the way God wants us to, useful for His purpose. We are prepared, ready, when the time comes, when God wants to use us, He'll be able to get something good out of us because we've made ourselves such. We are vessels. And maybe if you're reading a different translation out there, I know some translations talk about pots or jars. This NIV uses the word articles. There might be some translations. There's more translations of the Bible than you know, okay? Everybody thinks about, well, the King James and the New King James and the NIV, and there are so many translations of the Bible. They might use the word vessel, but we want to prepare this vessel to be useful for God to do good works. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 through 20 says, "And this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." So I can know this, even if I don't know the specifics, I know in general what purpose God wants to use this vessel for. What did it just tell me? He wants to use me for what? The ministry of reconciliation. He wants to use us to see other people restore their relationship to Him. That's what reconciliation means. That God was reconciling the world to Himself through Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And He has committed to us a message of reconciliation. Jesus came into the world, as it says, Christ. This is what Christ was reconciling the world to Himself. He came, He preached a ministry of reconciliation, but now He's gone. So that ministry is left up to us. That's what He's given us as our ministry. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God wants us to see ourselves as ambassadors. I think being an ambassador would be kind of a cool job in some really nice Caribbean, exotic, beautiful, sun-drenched island place. I'm down, okay? Count me in. But what it means to be an ambassador is you are part of one nation, okay? But you are sent as their representative to another nation to do what? To have good relationships between the two nations. God says that's what we are. We are of the kingdom of heaven, living in this world, so that people in this world can once again have a good relationship with God in the kingdom of heaven. We are ambassadors. You can get yourself a business card made up. My name is Randy Bevington, ambassador to earth. That might get you a few weird looks. But that's what God says. I can know what God wants to do with this vessel. However, it may take 1,000 different forms in how that happens. But I know in general, God's intent is He wants me, He wants us to serve as ambassadors representing His kingdom. If I'm going back to what I talked about before, if I'm going to be a good ambassador for His kingdom, I need to cut away the things, the failures, the flaws, the pollution of this world. In other words, I need to have my heart circumcised. I need to have my mind renewed to get rid of the worldly way of seeing things and thinking and have God's way of thinking. Because it doesn't do me any good to be an ambassador for the kingdom of God to come into the world and then live like the world, right? So I need to get rid of those things. 2 Corinthians 3:6 says, "He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." Again, we're back to the Spirit. But what I love about this is that Christians always have, I find it, there's plenty of preachers out there that will get up and they will preach against sin every Sunday. It's easy to preach against sin, right? How hard is it to get up here and say, don't murder, don't steal, don't lie, don't commit adultery. I mean, that's, it's easy to preach against the devil, all right? I've always felt like what God's called me to do is to challenge us, and myself included, to live up to what God has already done for us. But yet as Christians, we often struggle feeling like, well, I can't do it. I'm not good enough. I don't know enough. I'm not gifted enough. I'm not whatever. What did I just read? We're what? Competent. We are competent. We're good enough. God, we've got what it takes. We've got the Word of God. We got the Spirit of God. The problem is that we don't have what we need. The problem is that we may not access it and put it into our lives the way that we should. But God has given us what we need to be competent. But we're competent of the Spirit, which is, again, we're trying to know what God's doing in the Spirit, right? I'm competent to in the Spirit of God because God's Spirit brings life to us. It brings God to us. It brings Jesus to us and the grace that was given to us through Jesus Christ. I'm competent to tell people about the grace of Jesus, the mercy that has been shown to mankind. Why? Because I've experienced it. I'm competent to tell them that. You know what I'm not competent to tell them? I'm not a competent lawyer. Right? Isn't that what it says? I'm made competent how? He's made us competent as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, the law. The letter is the law. Not as competent of the letter, but of the Spirit, because the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. I'm not a competent lawyer. I can't know every aspect of the law perfectly and how it applies in every situation. But I know this, I know that God loves me. He sent Jesus to die for my sins, and if I believe that and receive it, I am made whole. I'm made holy. I'm made perfect in God's sight. I'm forgiven. I've experienced that. You know what I've experienced when I live by the law? Failure. Because I always, sooner or later, find some way to violate God's law. I can't violate God's grace. In fact, God's grace is shown to me because I violated His law, right? So we are made competent in sharing the Spirit because the Spirit gives life. 2 Corinthians 4, 5 and 6. For we do not preach ourselves, this is why I can be competent, or we can be competent, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as your servant for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let the light shine out of darkness, made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. This is a powerful message. This is what God has made us competent to do, to share Jesus. We don't preach ourselves. We don't say, hey, look at me, other than to say, look at what a schmuck I am. Keely was saying this morning in Sunday school that she's looking forward to get to heaven to see all the people that got there, that she's surprised that they're there. I said, I'm interested to see how many people I see in heaven who go to me. You made it? What's that? I hope I don't have memory, because I know the one I take some advantage, however God does it, I know I'm not gonna have any sadness or sorrow or regret or anything like that, because if I was able to look back on my life once I got to heaven, I'm afraid I'd feel pretty sorrowful and pretty regretful. But somehow God's gonna work that out, and I'm grateful for that. But we preach Jesus, not ourselves. We are, but in doing that, we are called to shine, to be lights. And what it means simply by light is to mean there's hope. There's opportunity. I mean, hope is a positive thing. It's a light. It's bright. It has energy. Discouragement, depression is darkness, right? So we are called to be, we should be not the word happy, is it, right? We should be joyful in our faith. We should be joyful in our in the resurrected life that we have in Jesus Christ, because that's light. God wants us to serve Him by letting His light shine through us, to shine, really, ultimately, to shine the face of Jesus. When we show other people mercy and grace, even in their failures, as God has shown us, we show Jesus. That's what he wants us to do, to show grace and mercy and forgiveness even in the midst of failures, to be like Jesus, to shine Jesus to the world. God intends us to preach him as Lord. We can only do this when we have the knowledge of his glory, is what it closes with. Knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Our knowledge of God's glory is made known to us through the person of Christ, through the person of Jesus. So how do I know, how do I get knowledge? How do I get this knowledge? I have to be in his word, right? I have to know what his word says. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I need to put God's word in me and renew my mind and have this knowledge. This is what I love about the Bible. All these are just like big pieces of the puzzle that you put them together and you get a bigger picture. All of this, I'm trying to tie all this together. Are you getting the pieces? Am I connecting the pieces? This is the only kind of puzzle. I can do one of those puzzles that the kids had when they were little. They have about 8 pieces. I can do those. But when they spread one of those 1,000 pieces, I don't even try. I don't even glance at that thing. I might look for an edge piece, right? We can all do edge pieces. Then our daughter got into started putting together 3D puzzles. I have a hard enough, no. 3D puzzles. I put them together in 4D with my mind. Okay, I'm done. Ephesians 3, verses 16 through 17, the beginning of 17. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with his power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Verse 17 tells us that God wants us to be a vessel of Christ, right? He dwells where? In us, in our hearts. He wants us to be vessels for him, vessels of him, living in our hearts so that we can do his work. And again, he's working on our hearts to circumcise them, to make them what God wants us to be. I always have to see how much I have to leave out. I never understood people that run out of things to preach. Every week I have to eliminate stuff. Verse Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. There is no clearer passage in the Bible more clear than Galatians 2:20 that tells us that we need to have no longer that it's not us living, it's Christ living in us and through us. I am crucified with Christ so that what? I no longer live. This is the ultimate circumcision of the heart, to where it is no longer, and how do I want to say this? I'm never going to achieve this on a full-time basis. And maybe one of you will. I haven't noticed that any of you have yet. That's not a criticism of you, because I haven't either. I think we might move in and out of it for a time, as you know, as we are where we are belong with God, and we're really, but we all kind of tend to, you ever find that it's hard to stay in one place? Now I'm going to get really strange. And you think, you're not already? Life, if you think of a lake, a river, an ocean, they have currents. And they're always moving. The air, right now, you can't see it, but certainly with the air conditioning running and these fans, it's exactly the same in here right now, in the air. And we understand that. You put in, when the current is strong, you get moved by the current. And if you have to really work to maintain your position. Does anybody know where Marble Lake is? Marble Lake. My grandparents used to live on that chain of 7 lakes. And we'd go up there, and Marble was a great lake to fish on for bluegill, okay? But there, it was always rough. That's why it's called Marble Lake, because it's so shallow. There would be days when it'd be so choppy, it'd be like 3 people in the boat. One person's fishing, the other two are just trying to keep you in the spot where you're catching all the bluegill, because you're going to be moved away. That's what currents do. Folks, we live, there is a spiritual current in this world. And it is always moving around us, pushing us one way or another. And it is really difficult to keep yourself anchored in that spot that you want to be. And it takes a lot of work to stay in that spot, because the current is going to want to push you somewhere else. Does that make sense? So I say, we may move in and out of this place where I no longer live, but Christ is the one that's living in me and through me. But I'm probably not going to be there very long, because Satan, of course, has got a current. He's going to come along and try to move me. People around me are going to want me to do what they want me to do. The world and all of its obligations have their things. So it's not a criticism, but this is what we want to work towards. And you know what? Probably just like keeping that boat in one place with two people, you know, always on the oar or on the motor, keeping you in one spot, we can have people around us that maybe can help us do that too, you know, can help us stay in that spot that we need to be in. But I don't know any clear passage that tells us that we be vessels of God. This is what he's looking for, that he literally is the one living in us and through us, and it's not us ourselves. Okay, this is a little bit longer passage, but then I'll wrap it up. John 15, verse 1 and 2, and then I'm going to jump to verses 4 through 8. I am the true vine, and the Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that does not bear fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Verse 4. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, he can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So, we're branches. We're not the vine. We're branches. Again, we go back to the idea of circumcision, or in this case, it's being called pruning. God prunes. He wants to prune off those things in our lives that do not produce good fruit. But if we remain, if we, the branches, remain in the vine, then we can produce fruit. But what's the flip side of that? To every statement, to the positive, there's a negative too. If we remain in him, we can produce fruit. But if we don't remain in him, we don't produce fruit. And if we get too far out of touch with him, we may end up getting pruned off ourselves and thrown into the fire, which does not sound good, you know? So we need to remain in him. Again, all these things are tying back to knowing God's will, doing God's will, letting God's word and will change us and get rid of those things in our lives. We remain in him. Even though the currents are trying to push us all over the place, we want to remain in him, because that's where we are useful. This is how all these things I'm saying, I'll go back to where I started. What is this week? What is this about? What am I talking about today? Being a vessel. Thank you. Hey. Being a vessel. All these things make us a vessel for God. Why do we want to be a vessel for God? Because everything happens in the spirit first, and I can't really be used for him by him if I don't know what's going on. Now, this says a really tricky part of this, where people will say, well, that's not true. You get down to verse 7 and 8, where it talks about you can ask whatever you wish and it'll be given to you. But I was told what? If I remain in him and I prune away all the stuff that shouldn't be there, then I can ask him whatever I want. Now the problem, there's a couple things going on here. One is, I never get all the stuff pruned away that should be pruned away. But if I do, I can ask whatever I want and he'll be given to me. Why? Because it's to my Father's glory. God wants to answer our prayers. Yes, because he loves us, but even more so because he gets glorified in it. I hope so. When you get an answer, when you have an answer, a prayer that you're praying, and you need an answer, and you really need God to answer that prayer, and when he does, what do you do? What do you do? You thank him, and what else do you do? You don't tell anybody? You tell other people, right? Because why? It is to God's glory. And then maybe there's somebody you work with, maybe some friend, and they're going through a hard time, and they think, man, maybe I should try that prayer thing, you know? Because they did it, because you glorified God, because he heard and answered your prayers. But here's the thing. Here's the really, really challenging part. One, yes, we need this circumcision and pruning and all that stuff to take place to be right where God wants us to be. But we also need to ask in accordance with God's will. I'm going to probably be a few minutes long. I apologize, but this is where it all comes together. If I'm going to ask according to God's will, then I need to know God's will. How do I know God's will? Because I know what's going on in the Spirit. I have to know, I have to be able to access somehow to have some understanding of what God's doing in the spiritual realm. If I do, and I can sense and know what God is up to, and I pray in accordance with his will, well, guess what? He already wants to do what I'm praying about. John 5:19-20. Jesus gave them this answer. I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. Jesus is going, I can't do anything. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Jesus couldn't do anything. If God wasn't already doing it, then Jesus didn't pray and ask God to do it. But if God was already doing it, Jesus asked the Father, and the Father did it. That's why Jesus' prayers, when we read about what he did in the Bible, God always answered his prayers because Jesus was only asking him what he already saw Dad up to. Oh, Dad's up to that. Well, I'm going to just agree with it. If we want to get our prayers answered, then we ask according to what God's already up to. And of course, he does it. Why? Because the Father loves the Son. And guess what? He loves you too. Because God is love. Are all the pieces starting to fit together? I'll skip that. I'm going to close with where I had to jump ahead last week too, and I close with the same passage, Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So God's working on us. He's pruning. We're circumcising our hearts. We're putting God's word in our mind. We're letting the Holy Spirit be interactive in our lives, and he's doing all this. Why? Because he's got good works prepared for us, and then we can do them. I'm God's workmanship. He's preparing me. He created me. He's working on me. He's pruning me. He's refining me. He's making me holy so that I can do the good works which he's already prepared in advance for me to do. Or Judy talked about this in the plural. She made the point. I told her, I said, now I got to preach another sermon because she has a comment every week on the way home. That's now you know why I didn't want to give her a microphone. It says, for we are God's workmanship. We think about this in the singular, right? I am God's workmanship. Now, I think that primarily the reason he says we is because he doesn't want people to think he's talking only about himself. Paul's not going to say, for I am, so he says we, so that we can all understand. But it also is true for us as the collective. It's us for the body of Christ. It's us for what God's planning to do and wants to do in this world. He has prepared these things for us to do. And this is a preparation as vessels prepare ourselves to be used of God. And ultimately, the vessel, what are we going to use for? Matthew 8, 28, 19, and 20. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. It's the Great Commission. This is not a mystery. Pretty much everybody is familiar with the Great Commission. We fulfill the Great Commission by being Christ ambassadors, by being competent to share the good news of the Spirit, of the gospel, of regeneration through grace and mercy that God has shown us. So if all of these things, if the spiritual comes first, as we started out 2 weeks ago, then all of this has already been determined by God in the spiritual realm. But it's our responsibility to know what God is doing in the spiritual realm so that we're not deceived by what Satan is doing in the spiritual realm. So we prepare ourselves to be vessels that we can be used by God and then that he can operate in us and through us. So be vessels of God. Know what he's up to. Know what he is doing in the spirit. Make ourselves ready so that we can be used by him, because that's what God's prepared us for, right? He's prepared us in advance for these things, to do the good works. And when it's all said and done, God is the one who gets glorified. Amen. Be a vessel to be used for God to fulfill his plans.